Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we give You thanks and praise for the blessings You give us continually. We thank You this day, Lord, for the forgiveness of sins earned not by our works, not by our efforts, not by our prayers, not by anything inside of us, but by the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Your Son, Jesus. Heavenly Father, as You have forgiven us, teach us to forgive one another. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 611.
We continue with the order of matins, page 219. Please stand. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare Your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me.
Father,
and to the Son.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O God, let us worship You. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us lift our voice to the heart of salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him.
We sing the intro hymn.
Thank you.
The office hymn is page 606. Please be seated. Old Testament reading from the 22nd Sunday after Trinity is from Micah, chapter 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
epistle is from Philippians, chapter 1. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and prayer of God. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Matthew, the 18th chapter. Peter came up and said to Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, Pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant, as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also, my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the common responsory. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the gospel reading we heard just a moment ago from Matthew 18, especially these last words. So also, my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we pray it all the time, don't we? As we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray the fifth petition, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know, of all the petitions in the Lord's Prayer, that's the one we don't like to think about too much. It's the one we don't like to dwell on. First of all, sometimes it seems like, well, maybe our forgiveness is conditional upon something we do. And we are right to have our antenna up on that kind of works righteousness. But when we look at it more carefully, we see, oh, something is actually required of me in this petition. To forgive. To forgive others. And we don't like it. We don't like it one bit. And so, we just pass right over it and hope or assume that it applies to somebody else and not me. And then we get a part of Scripture like our text for today in Matthew 18. And we have to come to grips not only with the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, but we have to come to grips with our own unloving and unforgiving hearts. Thus says the Lord. Matthew 18 has become one of those chapters of Scripture that becomes almost code word. You simply say Matthew 18 and you expect everybody to know what you're talking about. We use it, we abuse it, we beat people up with it, with a club. Oh, you're having a problem, huh? Have you followed Matthew 18? You know the words in Matthew 18 that I'm talking about? If your brother sins against you, write an article on Facebook? Oh, no. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Wow, isn't that amazing? Reconciliation? But that's not what we want, is it? We don't want the rift to be healed. We want to make them pay. Well, after a while, if he doesn't listen, take one or two, three others with you so that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Matthew 18. It's become some sort of Christian playbook or code word for reconciliation. But we don't really use it to reconcile. Not often enough. Maybe not ever. We just want to check mark the boxes off so once again we can pat ourselves on the back and look at how wonderful and pious we are, and what a poor, miserable sinner that other person is. Well, Matthew 18 does not stop with those stages of admonition, as our catechism teaches us. Matthew 18 goes on. Because after hearing this, after hearing about reconciling with one's brother, coming to grips and forgiving, Peter is really confused. Peter, seeking to justify himself, asks a question of Jesus. You know how we do this? We go to the Lord, we ask a question of God when the entire purpose of the question is to make us look good. So, Peter comes up to Jesus after all of this talk about forgiving and reconciling. Peter comes up to Jesus and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Peter thought he was doing pretty good. You know what it's like when somebody sins against you. It's almost impossible to forgive them once. To try to forgive someone more than once? Yeah, we know, don't we? Peter's saying here, 7 times? I want to get my scorecard out. I want to make sure that I'm fulfilling all righteousness. And Jesus blows him out of the water. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Now Jesus wasn't saying, get out your scorecard and mark out 490 times. What he was saying is, forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive, and when you're tired of forgiving, forgive some more. Forgive until the day you die, and when you die, let there be forgiveness on your lips. Never-ending forgiveness. If you thought Peter was confused before, you can only imagine how Peter felt afterwards. So Jesus tells a parable. We like parables, don't we? We can kind of make them say whatever we want them to say. We can fudge here a little bit. This means this. Here means me. We can do that with some parables. We can play fast and loose. But this is not one of them. This parable is shocking. This parable is as shocking as the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Are you ready? God is explaining forgiveness right here in this parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. God is the king, we are the servants. Very simple, right? On the last day, judgment day, God will settle the accounts. He will close the books. We know what that's like too. When the bills are due, we can beg, we can borrow, we can steal, but somebody's got to pay. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Jesus uses a number here so absurd so that we get the point. A talent was basically a year's wages. 10,000 talents. Whatever you want to plug in, that's the math. We're talking millions and millions and millions of dollars. There was no way a servant could have paid this back if he lived 100 lifetimes. So what does the servant do? And since he could not pay his master, his master ordered him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Time to settle the accounts. Time for a pound of flesh. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." Notice what the servant does not ask for. The servant does not ask for forgiveness. He doesn't want to be forgiven. He doesn't think he can be forgiven. His debt is too big. So what does this servant ask for? More time! Give me more time! How many books could be written about people who can't pay their bills and all they want is more time? Guess what? This guy didn't have enough time. There was no way he could pay this bill back. He was making an excuse, trying to earn his favor. And it couldn't be done. Impossible. So what did the king do? And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him his debt. The master of the house released him. Set him free! And forgave him his debt. My friends, the one thing that distinguishes the Christian religion from every religion in the world is the forgiveness of sins, free and full. There is no other religion. There is nothing that compares to it. How horrific it is when people take Christianity and taint it so that the forgiveness of sins is not the heart, core, soul, and center of what we are about. This is God's Word. This is the Christian faith. The forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins that we need and that we cannot earn or purchase no matter what we do or what we try. God, in His mercy, God, in His pity, forgives our sins. But justice must be paid. So instead of laying the guilt and the punishment for our sins upon us, God, in His love and mercy and justice, takes our guilt, our shame, our punishment, and lays it on Jesus. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. And the Lord has laid on Him, Jesus, the great exchange, the iniquity of us all. My friends, Jesus paid for our sins both actively and passively. He paid for our sin actively by doing, by actively living, fulfilling all of God's commands, doing it perfectly, doing it always. Jesus paid for our sin passively, as He passively hung on Calvary's cross, taking the hit we deserve, taking the penalty, taking the punishment that we owe, onto Himself, into Himself. This is what Jesus did for us and for our salvation. Forgiveness, full and free, is yours. And you want to know the wild and crazy thing? Jesus paid for the sin of the whole world. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait until we cleaned up our act. He didn't wait until we had an attitude adjustment. He didn't wait until we were really, 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 really sorry. God, in His mercy and His pity, forgives sins. This is what God does. Our parable continues. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. A denarii is 1 day's wages. 1 day's wages. A few thousand dollars. Pretty good sum, but certainly not impossible to pay. Seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. My friends, this parable is not a parable about money management. This is not a Dave Ramsey course so that you don't get yourself back in debt after you've finally gotten yourself out of debt. No. This is about the forgiveness of sins. What do you do with the forgiveness of sins that God has given you? The servant, who didn't ask for it, was forgiven, full and free. And with this forgiveness, full and free, he went out and he refused to forgive. Anybody getting nervous? This is one of those quake in the pew parables. How many of us have refused to forgive? How many of us harbor a grudge? How many of us don't hate with our words and our actions, but we do with our thoughts? How many of us plot revenge? This parable is shocking. And what's even more shocking is that we don't even listen to these words, because they hit too close to home. The servant's friends, they were tattletales. They reported it back to the master. The master got very upset. "You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. Remember the millions and millions and millions of dollars? And then verse 35. "So also, my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." My friends, the reason God teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us," is because God knows how difficult it is for us to forgive one another. And He knows that if we stubbornly refuse to forgive one another, we have lost our faith. We are unbelievers. We are not Christians. We are headed to hell. God does not want that. He desires all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of forgiveness. God does not want our unloving, unforgiving heart to strangle and quench our faith. He wants us to be free. That's why He sent Jesus to live and die and rise again, so that we would be free, truly free, and in that freedom to freely forgive, as God in Christ has freely forgiven us. Pastor, you don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know what that person did. You don't know what that person said. You don't know what my work atmosphere is like. You don't know how they've plotted and schemed against me. You don't know the rumors that they started. You don't know the things that they put on the internet. You don't know. Well, what should you do when people speak evil against you? What should you do when people tear you down? What should you do when people hurt you for no cause? What should you do when people are not even sorry for what they have done? You know what you should do? Repent! Because it's not about you. It's about Christ. Repent! Have there been times when you have not loved one another as God has called you to love? Have there been times when you have not loved God with your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind, and loved your neighbor as yourself? Have there been times when you have been unkind as a husband or a wife or a parent or a child? Have there been times when you've been lazy at your work? Have there been times when you have not treated your body or the bodies of others with respect and love? My friends, there's a reason why we sang, "Chief of sinners though I be," at the beginning of our service today. God freely forgives us in Jesus Christ so that we can freely forgive others for Jesus' sake. It is perhaps the most difficult thing that you will ever do as a Christian, to forgive. And this is what God calls you to do. You don't forgive so that you can earn brownie points. You don't forgive so that other people will think you're a wonderful, pious person. You forgive because this is what Christians do. And when you struggle with forgiving one another, run to the Word of God. Hear the promises that are for you. The forgiveness of sins spoken into your ears. The forgiveness of sins wrapped around you in holy baptism. The forgiveness of sins put into your mouth to eat and drink Christ's body and blood. As that forgiveness of sins wells up inside of you, you won't be able to keep it to yourself. And as God has forgiven you, by the grace of God in Christ Jesus, you will forgive one another. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our forgiveness in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Freely we have been loved and forgiven. Freely we praise God with our hearts and our voices. We continue with the Te Deum, page 223 and following. Please stand as you're able.
Oh,
again. Welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, who forgives us full and free. Thanks be to God. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship, pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or the internet. We pray that the good news of forgiveness in Jesus would be yours today and always. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings.
Our service continues and concludes with the prayers of the church, beginning with the Kyrie, page 227. We stand. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. O God, our refuge and strength, the author of all godliness, hear the devout prayers of your church, especially in times of persecution, and grant that what we ask in faith we may obtain. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. All-merciful Father, to your care and protection we commend all your baptized children throughout the world. Defend them against the assaults of the evil one and fill their hearts with your saving peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Forgiver of every sin,
Pour out upon all pastors the Spirit of Your grace, that they may lead Your people into lives of forgiveness and compassion. Lord, in Your mercy, ever merciful King, look in compassion on every congregation of Your church, and do not allow the evil one to gain a foothold through resentments and hurts cherished. But in every place, fill Your children with Your Spirit of forgiveness and gentleness. Lord, in Your mercy, ruler of the nations, remember in Your kind mercy all who bear public office in our land, and give them both wisdom and courage to serve with integrity and honor. Lord, in Your mercy, Lord, our healer, to Your merciful hands we commend all who are hurt and suffering, afflicted in body, soul, or spirit, especially Jerry, Frederick, Lynn, Celeste, Diane, Chip, Nevaeh, Rosa, Ed, Jan, Jim, Sonia, Julie, Lyle, Dwayne, Mo, Jason, Ken, Bonnie, Susie, Jeanette, Char, Sherry, Anna, Larry, and Clara, begging that for them patience in their time of trouble, healing according to Your will, and trust in Your unfailing love. Lord, in Your mercy, ever-living One, Your Son has won for Your people the certain hope of resurrection and eternal life. Receive our thanks for all who have gone to their graves, trusting His redemption and eagerly awaiting His appearing, especially Earl. Grant us our portion with all the saints in light. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into Your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in Your mercy through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, You have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with Your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by Your governance, may be righteous in Your sight. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, 851.
Amen. Welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. That was a great way to end that hymn, wasn't it? With your love, our love renew. May God grant it for the name of Jesus. Kids, you can go get some goodies. We'll be in here at 9:20. 9:20 for Sunday school opening. Great job, school kids, with the anthem today. Thank you. Thank you. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. Activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. We have our big Stephen Ministry workshop coming up first Saturday in November. It's free for the members of Good Shepherd. We just need a count for the food. Be a great way to get an introduction into caregiving and to know what to say in sometimes some very, very difficult situations. Promise it'll be a day well spent. So sign up sheet for that out on the table there. We had a lot of things that happened this past week. The first of our four parts for our junior confirmation questioning took place on Wednesday night. Went very, very well. Friday was family fun night, and that too went very, very well. I wasn't here yesterday morning for the congregational work day, but I noticed things are spruced up outside, so I assume things went very, very well that way as well. So check out the other things that are coming. If you have not been listening to the radio, I just encourage you to do so. It really grows on you with the different programs and the music mix that is on there. And one of the programs that has a lot of airtime on there, both the older programs that are rebroadcast and live every afternoon, is Issues, Etc. It is, without a doubt, the best Lutheran thing on the radio. And I just encourage you to listen to it. If you hear it for just a little bit or hear it for hours and hours on end, it is addictive in a very, very good way. Between now and what? Next couple of weeks, Kurt? When is the big Reformation special going to start airing? So that'll start on October 31st. Start on October 31st. You will not want to miss that. And with that or with any of the programs, if anybody wants to sponsor one of the programs or whatever, just talk to somebody on the radio board, and we'll give you the right information on that. Okay, Pastor.
See right back there on the school table a little basket to put it in, or else turn in at the information table or at the church office during the week.
It was in last week's news and notes. I don't know if it's in this. Okay. Is it in this week's too?
Okay.
All right. Very good. Vicar, anything? Anything? Where did you spend yesterday afternoon, Vicar?
At the Huskers game.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You're finally starting to fit in around here. All right. Yes. Got to see how 90,000 people worship on a Saturday afternoon. All right. Coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. Two opportunities for Bible study. Summary of Christian Doctrine, room 109. What are we studying today, Pastor?
Who is Jesus?
All right. Very good. In room 109. And today, with our look at Islam, we're going to be talking about not only the five pillars of Islam, but especially what is referred to often as the sixth pillar, jihad. And if you haven't heard that name in the news, you haven't been listening to the news. That's all I can say. So we'll try to make some sense out of that in a godly way. Have a great day and week and lifetime in the forgiveness of sins that is Jesus Christ.